This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Glad you're with us here on a Thursday morning on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That is Kim St. Ange sitting down there. Carl Middleman across the desk here. And Sue Thomas will be along shortly with a check of any traffic problems. I was shocked earlier to hear Sue say that yesterday afternoon's commute was actually kind of quiet. I mean, obviously we didn't get the snow that they promised us. When we came into work, it was a little bit of a mess. So they had more problems yesterday morning than they did by afternoon, despite how cold it was. I had to wait because of when the snow hit, I had to wait to shovel my driveway till yesterday. I got my snowblower out.
Can I just give props to my niece? She's 9 years old. Well, actually, not even just her. My nephews, too, 6 and 7 years old. They were out. Pretty much, well, she was out all day yesterday, starting at 8 a.m., but then the boys, my nephews, joined her, and they went from house to house shoveling driveways last night. I had to go drive around. I was at my sister's house and tell them, guys, it's time to come back. It was like 5 p.m. at that point.
Did they make money?
Oh, they made a lot of money, yeah. And I think they were only charging 10 bucks a driveway or saying, you know, hey, can we shovel your driveway? Pay whatever you think. And of course, people are just so thrilled to see kids who, you know, have a good work ethic and who will do that. I mean, It was really cold yesterday, so it was pretty neat to see them really excited to come home with a fistful of cash and so proud of what they did.
I did that a little bit when I was a young man, and it has disappeared largely. On rare occasion, I'll see a kid out knocking on a door asking if they can shovel your driveway. I'd love to see more of it. It's a great way to make money under the table, and people love it when you offer to do that. Yeah.
I mean, usually it's at least 15 years old, right? I mean, how often do you see 6, 7, and 9 year olds out there in whatever it was yesterday, single digit temperatures, I guess. I don't know.
The good thing about yesterday compared to that snowfall we got in January is it was like powder.
Mm-hmm.
It was really easy to shovel. Mm-hmm. So that made it even better for them. Good for them. I love to see kids show an initiative like that. That's fantastic. It sort of, you know, I'll say I joke about this all the time, but I am on the, Kim, are you on the email distribution list of the White House?
Mm-mm.
I am now. And from the communications office. And every day, they fill up my email box with something else Donald Trump has done, some new announcement, some new executive order, and I've got them. I printed off a bunch of them this morning just because it's hard to keep up with. Yesterday was the executive order ending taxpayer subsidization, it's a hard word to say, of open borders. Like the plain text, basically, it's all spelled out that they're no longer going to subsidize open borders. And they talk about specifically how they are going to preserve federal and public benefits that are now going to illegals. They're going to make it illegal to give public benefits to illegals. How about that? Why was that not already a thing? Here's the other one. The National Energy Dominance Council paves the way for unleashing American energy. This is another press release I got from them yesterday talking about what they're doing. But that's not the best one. That is not the best one by a long shot. This was the best one that I got yesterday. And I would probably need the rest of the time we have here this morning to go through it all. This is the executive order commencing the reduction of the federal bureaucracy, dated 2/19 of 25 from the White House. And basically, it is the policy of this administration to dramatically reduce the size of the federal government while increasing its accountability to the American people. And they go through pretty much explaining exactly how they're planning to do that, including reducing the size and scope of the federal bureaucracy and explaining exactly how they intend to do that. And already you can hear the death throes of the federal bureaucracy. They're mad and they're not going to take it anymore. One government employee went on the Joy Reid show last night to explain how disgusted he was at the way in which he was fired.
And I found out that I was fired last Tuesday. I received an email at around 8:30 at night to my personal email. That email went out to about 70 of my colleagues. And it said that I was my performance was not up to standards for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. But it was the same email that everyone else got. In fact, it didn't have my name in it. It was a it just said to employee first name, last name.
Oh, that employee didn't even get his name put in the email. They're doing this so quickly that they didn't even have time to put his name in the email. Now, that might be kind of shocking to the system. But it wasn't like this guy was in some sort of a critical position that was, let's put it this way. If they had to shut the government down tomorrow and only positions critical to the defense of the United States were called into work, that guy wouldn't have been one of them. Mm-hmm. So nobody's going to notice that his job got eliminated. But this is what's going on in Washington. And more than anything else, a neighbor and I were talking about this yesterday, more than anything else, it shows you why the establishment in Washington was so afraid of Donald Trump back in 2015. They could not have somebody who wasn't part of the system, because the minute they got in charge, they could see all that was wrong.
Mm-hmm. I just keep thinking about how thankful I am that there were 4 years in between Donald Trump. Maybe things wouldn't be as bad as they are now because Joe Biden wouldn't have, you know, steered our ship toward the iceberg, basically. But man, I mean, Donald Trump needed those 4 years to, I mean, he was already very gutsy with his first term, but to be able to come in here and have no fear, and he has such a better head on his shoulders about, I think, his cabinet picks and people he's taking advice from. It's just been a really big blessing in disguise that he did not win re-election right after he initially served.
I think you're absolutely right. That's a great point. All right, Carl, let us get very quickly here to our top stories.
Because the Mark Cox Shortlist.
And as of January 20th, 2025, the dark days of high taxes, crushing regulations, rampant inflation, flagrant corruption, government weaponization, I know about weaponization, and total incompetence will be gone forever. They'll be gone forever.
The golden age is back, declares Donald Trump yesterday, even while the left and most of the leaders in Europe are fit to be tied over how he's doing it.
But again, I cannot sit here and determine what that wage will be. Fully and fairly, I will enforce the law, but it will be up to Congress to determine, because that is not in the purview of the Secretary of Labor.
Yeah, that's the candidate there, Lori Chavez de Remer, who some Republicans were kind of lukewarm on. She had her hearing yesterday for Labor Secretary.
Of course there's some wasteful spending, but you don't use a meat axe and cut everything. We need to look at each program. We need to go through Congress and see what's wasteful.
It's all wasteful, Chuck. 95% of it is probably wasteful, and you helped do it.
At no time and under no circumstance did I give a directive to allow Sheriff Montgomery or his staff to interview a detainee within the custody of the Corrections Division.
Yeah, that's the safety director for the city accusing the sheriff, the newly elected sheriff in St. Louis, of lying and conducting an interview with somebody who was in jail awaiting charges for an assault, I believe. And now they're claiming that he had no business interviewing them. So I don't think we've heard the final word on how that goes down. But Charles Coyle is pretty mad at the sheriff right now for conducting that interview. And I don't know if they're claiming it was improper in some way, that they didn't have the authority to do that. They claim that they did. So more to come on that one for sure in this election year, because the election's in April for the next mayor. I'm sure this may be connected to that somehow. All right, quick break here. We will get our friend John Putner on coming up next, senior advisor to the Faith and Freedom Coalition, talking more about this reconciliation bill. Are the Republicans really together on it? Can they get anything meaningful done in terms of cutting down the size of government? We'll talk to John right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
One team is what I vote for. What I've seen for the first time in my time in Washington, Republicans playing team ball. That is great news. John Thune, Mike Johnson, President Trump, all on the same page. Working the sausage factory is an ugly process behind doors. The good news is President wants it done in public. That's great news. We'll start on that this week. We'll get the border done. We'll find ways to help explode the energy opportunities in our country. We'll see, frankly, our defense taken care of. And yes, we need to make sure the $4 trillion of tax cuts are permanent. How do we get there? One bill, two bills, that we get there is the most important ingredient for President Trump's success. Okay, and we will deliver.
Yeah, that's Tim Scott, the senator who I really kind of envisioned to be in a more high-profile role. I figured Trump would pull him over into the administration. That has not happened. But, you know, it's key. You can't take everyone, right? You got to leave some people there to get the job done in Congress, and maybe the president sees Tim Scott as one of those people. I would, to what he said there, I do think it's important to pay attention, and I've said this many times, as an observer of what's gone on in Republican politics for far too long. They get control sometimes of both houses of Congress, sometimes in both houses of Congress and the White House, and because of inside bickering, they can't get anything done. And when the Democrats have that same power, they force things down your throat like Obamacare, which only works if you don't. I mean, we're still paying for that thing. It screwed up health insurance to such a degree that it's crazy. You're forced to, if you're a 70-year-old person or a 60-year-old person and you have to go buy Obamacare, then you're paying for birth control and all that other stuff that you're never going to need to take any advantage of because it's now required. It's crazy what they did in that law. And we forget about it because it's been so long ago now. It's been 15 years.
I like Obamacare. Is that what you called it?
Obamacare. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And it's a complete mess. So the point is, Republicans now have an opportunity here to do something through reconciliation, which the Democrats did to us two times during Joe Biden's the early part of his administration, not the least of which is shoving this Green New Deal down our throats, right? And then, of course, taking advantage of the fact that of COVID, of always take advantage of a good crisis and never let a good crisis go to waste. I believe it was the exact way that was phrased. And Rahm Emanuel said that, and they did it. Now the Republicans have that opportunity. They can, without needing a single Democrat vote, They can make cuts to spending. They can include money for deportations, for a wall, for all of that stuff. And I fear to death that they're going to falter on this. I don't know why. They pushed a scaled back bill on Tuesday in the Senate along a party line vote, and as they plan to skip tax cuts, holding that for a second spending package later. I don't know why. It's in the House where they're doing the good work, right? They are going with the president's approach, which is what you might have heard him call it, a big, beautiful bill that would include $4.5 trillion in tax cuts as part of the GOP agenda. And I don't know why they wouldn't do that.
Why is it that it seems Republicans are just not as unified as the Democrats are? Now, now it seems like the Democratic Party in Congress has started falling apart more than we have seen them fall apart historically. But it seems like Republicans just are such a wide spectrum, and they can't seem to get on the same page as easily as the Democrats. And it's problematic for things like this when we need to push these things through.
I wish I had a good answer for that. I mean, my default answer would be is you have a certain number of people who are truly fiscal conservatives, mm-hmm. and the rest of them are very moderate.
Yep.
And they're the ones that hold back true reform in Washington, D.C., particularly when you have an opportunity like this. Liberals, the members of the Democratic Party that actually get elected to Congress, the progressives so overwhelmingly dominate that conference that they push through. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, remember what her daughter said, could cut your head off and you wouldn't even know you mm-hmm. were bleeding. She ruled with an iron fist, and the Republicans don't tend to govern that way.
Maybe it's that, like you said, the conservatives run on these conservative values and then come to find out when they're actually elected, they don't hold true to that. They don't vote in a way that supports those values. Whereas the Democrats, they're out there saying, oh, I support, you know, a young girl being able to surgically become a boy and have this chopped off or this whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like the more progressive they are, the more support they might get from that group of people. So it's easier to run with a disguise as a conservative and then kind of do the bait and switch thing.
It's insane.
It's frustrating.
It's insane. It's frustrating. And we watched it happen over and over and over again. Let's hope they get it done this time. I don't know. We were hoping to get a hold of John Putner to discuss this. We've had a little trouble getting him on the line, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And if we can get him, we'll try here maybe right after the bottom of the hour. And then we'll get to another news with Ethan at about 6:45. And next hour, Joe Cardinale is going to join us. Of course, a retired police officer up in New York City, and talking about the how deadly a year 2024 was for members of law enforcement. You may not realize that. We'll talk about it about 7:35. Stay tuned.
In less than a single month, the Department of Government Efficiency has already saved over 55. This is just a short period of time. $55 billion. And we're just getting started. That's nothing compared to the numbers that you're talking about, right? We're ending trillions of dollars in waste, and it'll mean much lower inflation, lower interest rates, lower payments on mortgages, credit cards, car loans, and much higher stock markets. I think the stock market's going to be great. In other words, we will rapidly grow our economy by dramatically shrinking the federal government, and we have to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to watch what President Trump has accomplished in a really short period of time when you think about it. But he really needs the help of Congress to make those deeper cuts that will last, right? To really affect to downsize government. We got John Pudner on the phone with us this morning, senior advisor to the Faith and Freedom Coalition. And John, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so taking a look at this package that they're working on, this reconciliation deal that where Republicans really don't need Democrat votes to get this passed, what can they really get accomplished here? What are you seeing in there?
Well, I think the first thing is just reversing the whole trend and going after, you go after everything. Trump's a negotiator. Certainly they're going to hit a few things that say, oh, that actually is an essential need. But this idea that some of the liberal press coming back with it, well, they haven't proven there's waste. My gosh. I mean, no one in the country doesn't believe there's huge waste. And you know, it's just Americans' common sense. Five of your wealthiest seven counties surround D.C. I mean, it's just federal government growth at the expense of everyone else in the country. So, you know, set the tone first, and having someone with some of the Doge's and Musk ability to go in and just root it out and see what we can get rid of and reverse the trend on runaway spending.
You know, I said this earlier. It's pretty obvious a month into his second term why the people in the establishment were so involved in trying to, number one, prevent him from getting elected to begin with, and then trying to get him kicked out of office when he was in office and trying to keep him from getting reelected, because he's impacting things they built in over a number of years to support the deep state, if you will, and he's taken an axe to it.
Absolutely. And just to anyone who's seen huge budgets get going knows that people try to work things into them. So whether it's, you know, USAID overseas or, you know, watching some of the shenanigans there, obviously that, you know, they scream the loudest when you're getting close to finding their money. And just to set this whole tone, and then, you know, it can add to what you said at the beginning, and even imprison him, you know, anything to stop this from happening. And, you know, he's serious this time, and we're having debates over whether the money should be given back in a tax refund or pay down the deficit. I mean, either one of those is a win. I mean, if we're having that discussion, that's great. It means we're not doing the alternative, which is just keep spending and taking care of people's pet money on the side.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because Mark and I were having that discussion about him supposedly cutting $5,000 checks to people with all this money that Doge has saved. I mean, do we think that's the right move? Should this money instead just be poured all into debt?
Yeah, I think there's a good argument for both. I might tend toward the debt argument, but again, it's two good options. You know, I'm glad this is the discussion we're having, and I think it's a fair discussion, and there's some difference of opinion. Then, you know, does it long-term help us more to finally just get a hold of the debt and pay it down? Or, of course, a lot of people would like to see a check. I remember after the Bush 2000 election, it was very nice to send every American a check, you know, right after that and say, you know, we've got a surplus. Why is the government keeping it? So that's certainly one option. But at some point, yeah, we do have to show fiscal restraint, and I tend toward the pay down the debt, but again, both good options.
Yeah, it's true. We have the Hancock Amendment here in Missouri that has stifled Democrats for many years. They hated it, and basically, it was an amendment that limited the amount of taxes and fees the state could raise, and if it exceeded that, they had to write a check back to the taxpayers of the state of Missouri. It put a limit on government. And I'm with Kim here. I mean, I like the idea of getting a $5,000 check. But if that money could be better used to downsize government or pay off some of this debt, I know it wouldn't directly go to pay it off, but you got to start somewhere, right?
That's right. And I think the argument for paying down the debt is, you know, if you do infuse as much money into the system, which obviously Biden did, you do risk inflation. So does that check look good, but does that actually continue inflation as opposed to paying down debt? Yeah, so that's a fair question. Your dollar's either going to stretch further or you're going to get a check, and those are both good options.
Do you think Donald Trump has shocked the the left in this country to the point that they're in disarray? I mean, obviously, John, when you look at it, they've gone to court now to try to stop him, these attorneys general. They've lost several decisions recently in court about whether or not he's got the authority to do what he's doing. I mean, at the end of the day, though, if Congress doesn't step in, none of that change is permanent, right?
That's right. And obviously the trend toward just governing by executive orders goes back now several presidents. U.S. Congress just hasn't really functioned that well, just continuing resolutions, et cetera. So, but I think the interesting thing as far as the political ramifications is, in the most recent Gallup polling, Republicans are 14 points more liked than the Democrats. Now neither is liked. It's like Republican 44 favorable, 48% negative, but the Democrats are 14 points worse. That's the best Republican edge ever, except for 3 days right after George W. Bush was reelected. I mean, this is historic, the difference, and it's really how bad people think the Democrats are. And so I think just these common sense, you know, moves he's making, people are for. Now, of course, you're going to get in the weeds and realize you've cut something that hits close to home for someone. Of course, we know there are going to be times when, or maybe that was really essential. But the overall mood is do something. If you have to back off on 20% of it after going through the whole budget, fine.
You know, I know you're running Faith and Freedom now. Tell people about that, because the idea was to get people of faith to the ballot box. How did those efforts work out for you, in your opinion, in 2024?
It was fantastic. We had incredible numbers. And I started this back in Bush 2000, working for Ralph Reed, who's the national chair, and had done all the states, including Missouri was a real battleground that year. We're happy to pull it out. I'm glad it's gotten more conservative over time.
Sure has.
But we did, you know, the 59% Catholic vote for Trump, that's by far the most Catholic vote for a Republican ever. You know, evangelical vote was still about 80%. But more important, there were heavier turnout in those groups. Much heavier turnout. And, you know, we had almost half of conservative faith-based voters not vote in 2020, and that was reversed. So it really was a difference. You know, elections are more about turnout than persuasion, and I think people realized what was at stake in 2024. And just getting a lot of materials out to churches, we were able to turn them out. And we got a Supreme Court race up in Wisconsin now that's the next one, and then there's Virginia, New Jersey governor. So yeah, even these off years, there are elections some places in the country where faith-based voters need to turn out.
Yeah, and wow, thank you very much for those efforts as well, because you're right. I'd not heard that number about Catholic voters, but that's huge.
Well, I think, you know, I'm encouraged to hear what you guys are doing and the results you had, and I'm so grateful for all the work you did to do that. But it still is, quite frankly, depressing to me as a Christian to go back to that Barna research that showed that 32 million church-going Christians plan to sit out the election. So what more could be done, should be done to get people, quite frankly, off their butts and to get them to care and see the value in voting in these elections?
You know, what we put out, we don't put out hit pieces at all on anyone. We just put out a side-by-side comparison that goes through issues. You know, so if someone wants men and women sports, or, you know, doesn't like Israel or whatever, that's fine. So that's an option. You know, that's one of the candidates. And but most people, yeah, I think side with the conservatives on that. But we just find this side-by-side format. I mean, I'm having another 100,000 printed now for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, that's just the April 1st, this next race in the country. But we just found the side-by-side, that's when your churchgoer, who doesn't really like a lot of negative back and forth, sees a nice picture of both candidates, says, oh, wait, this is about six really important issues. This isn't about if I you know, wouldn't elect Donald Trump to be my pastor, you know. I mean, that's it's about getting things done. So yeah. I think that's what it takes, fair comparisons on issues.
Well, John, if people want to find out more about the organization, how do they do that?
Yeah, the hot one right now is Wisconsin FFC. That's Wisconsin Faith and Freedom Coalition.com. That's just got the hot race in the country right now. So very regular updates. I'm sure we'll post this interview on there, too.
Very good. John Putner, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Glad we were able to get a hold of him. We had a wrong phone number for him. We were going to talk to him in that last segment, and we had a couple digits off in the phone number, I think. So glad we were able to get a hold of him this morning for sure. Coming up, we're going to get to another news with Ethan. Next hour, my friend Jim Talent will join us to talk about this situation with Ukraine specifically and the negotiations to try to end that war. Shannon Bream, just a little later, host of Fox News Sunday. That's about 8:20. We'll be right back.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
All right, so for all you
do you want me to play it then?
Did you find it?
Yes.
we were trying to play some music for Ethan here, and it was in the wrong file.
No, I was in the wrong place.
Oh, Carl
it's
was
my
in the wrong file.
I will take the
Thank
hit
you
for this.
Taking the hit.
It's my fault, so I will take it. Okay, so Ethan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pretend.
We'll
pretend
start
we,
over.
Pretend we played another commercial.
All right.
Yes. Which we didn't.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Ooh, live radio.
Yeah.
HBO's The Last of Us is going to return for season 2. We all knew that, but they finally dropped the date. You're going to be able to start watching on Sunday, April 13th, 8 p.m. Central. It's going to be picking up 5 years after season 1. Joel and Ellie are living in Jackson, Wyoming, but their past going to catch up with them, leading to new dangers and conflicts. This season will also be introducing Abby, who is a big player in the... If you've seen the game or played the game, you'll know who Abby is.
If you played the game...
Played the game.
It's a video game.
Oh,
and they're following this game. I don't want to say.
So for people that haven't seen it, the theory is here. This illness is basically like a Walking Dead kind of thing is going on, and they believe that this young girl has a natural immunity to it that is the secret to defeating it.
Right.
Yes.
And they were trying to take her somewhere to let her be tested, and this guy basically helped her escape, and they went
the
west,
end of
right?
Season one,
yes,
which is the first half of the game,
yeah.
They were going to do experiments on her and dissect her and find out what was wrong with her.
Well,
and
that's awesome.
And he saved her.
They're trying to find the cure.
Yeah. They're trying to find a cure, so like they were going to do.
Dissecting her.
And I'm not sure this entices me, but I do really like the theme song.
Pedro Pascal, right?
Yes. It's a really good show.
Yeah.
A little horror theme to it, but
is it graphic?
Kind of like Walking
Dead.
Yes, yeah, it's graphic.
Like Walking Dead kind of graphic.
I never got into that.
Well, they're
zombies.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're. So, you like the action.
I did like the action in it. Please explain something to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know COVID interrupted a few things, and there was a strike at one point. But why the hell is it taking so long between seasons of shows these days?
Like, there was a writer's
strike. We watched The Old Man, and then we're watching finally season 2 dropped, and now we're all confused because it's been so long since we watched the first one.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing with Yellowstone, and the same thing with 1923, and now The Last of Us. There are years in between two shows.
Writer's strike, actor's strike.
Oh. I think it's more than that. I think that they're just trying to drive viewership or something because you're building up expectations for it.
Well, plus, Stranger Things.
They're all going to
be
all 25 years old.
Yes. How was the second season of Old Man? Old Man, the first one was great.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good one. But again, my wife and Michelle and I, who were watching it, we were a little confused about a couple of the characters. It's almost like we almost wanted to go back and watch the last couple of episodes of the last season before watching it. I would almost recommend that because we were confused by a few things.
Well, you might actually be an old man when the next season comes out.
Could happen.
If you're curious, Cynthia Erivo, the award-winning star of Wicked, has been chosen to host the Tonys, this season's Tony Awards. Are going to take place on June 8th at the familiar home of Radio City Music Hall, and you will be able to stream them live on Paramount Plus or see them on CBS.
Is that the actress who... Okay, she's one of the main actresses, right?
Correct.
Because now I just saw that she's set to become the first... This is the headline. Wicked actress set to become first queer black woman to play Jesus Christ at the Hollywood Bowl.
That is correct.
So, but Jesus
Those
Christ
words
Superstar?
Don't make any sense.
Yeah, I think it's Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh.
She will be playing Jesus.
Okay.
She has the vocal range for it.
For Jesus?
But, yes.
Oh, no, I did hear that Jesus was a phenomenal singer. The Sermon on the Mount, he sang that, yes. Actually. Yeah. He sang all the time with his disciples.
And he wasn't Middle Eastern. And
white. That's funny. Yeah, that's true.
It looks like a Banksy painting called Crude Oil. I apologize for butchering this name. Vettoriano is set to be auctioned off by its Sotheby's in London next month with an estimated value up to $6.3 million. The piece is owned right now by Mark Hoppus of Blink-182, and it features an environmental message and critiques big business role. It's based on Jack Vettoriano's The Singing Butler, and it just has a satirical twist on it. They added a sinking oil liner and figures carrying toxic waste behind it.
And why is it worth so much money?
Because it's Banksy's. It's a Banksy.
Oh, for goodness sake.
All right. And no one knows who Banksy is.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Nice.
Fun fact.
Probably Hunter Biden.
I have The Singing Butler hanging up in my house right now.
Do you?
Yeah. Just a print. It's my wife's favorite picture. Small businesses are struggling to fill positions despite steady economic growth. The National Federation of Independent Businesses' latest survey shows a drop in small business optimism, largely due to hiring challenges. In January, 35% of small businesses had unfulfilled job openings, with 52% actively hiring. Skilled worker shortages remain a key issue, with 90% of business owners reporting a lack of qualified applicants. Tons of
lack of motivated applicants, I would think, right?
What I see an issue with is that a lot of these problems can't be fixed unless you have a heart change. You can incentivize people financially, do all of these things, and that might help a select few get off their butts and out of their parents' basement with their hand in the Cheeto bag and actually go find a job and work hard.
Right.
But the majority of people, what it's going to take is a true heart change. And that would be a lot more difficult.
Swift kick in the rear end by their parents. One of the two, right?
Yeah. And if you're a small business hiring, call Kim because her niece and nephew apparently are out there busting
their
butts.
Yeah, they are shoveling experts.
That's right.
Only $10, guys. It's a steal.
Do they come to the city?
I'll ask, yeah. They're 9, so they might need my sister to drive them.
A study from the Journal of Clinical and Aesthetic Dermatology reveals that many video call users focus on their own image, influencing self-perception and driving demand for cosmetic procedures. Among the 545 surveyed U.S. adults, 67 admitted to watching themselves more than the speaker, with 68% frequently using appearance-enhancing filters.
Of course you do.
Can we get that on the Facebook page, appearance-enhancing filters?
Mark saw that thing.
Wrinkle eraser on here.
No, you saw that thing. It said, touch up my appearance.
It did say that on the camera over here. You can
really
see that.
Yeah.
Kim's like, why didn't you tell me that?
I mean, I'm the one who doesn't even care about having the lights on my face because I'd rather it be cozy than it be well lit.
And you're the only one in here who doesn't need an image enhancer.
I was like, Kim
enhancer.
Doesn't need it at all.
I put makeup on. I brush my hair, but I'm not saying I don't look frumpy.
You got the
days.
Librarian glasses on today.
Yeah, my contacts were like burning my eyes yesterday. I need to replace them.
Coming up, we'll get to former Senator Jim Talent. We'll talk about Donald Trump's comments on Ukraine and his take on the whole thing, and more on why 2024 was such a deadly year for members of law enforcement. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.